All right, welcome back. This should be interesting because I'm telling you, if we really dive into this, it is, I think it's a good discussion, and hopefully it is edifying. That's always my hope. Like I said, playing Jesse Lee Peterson's video in the first segment of the first hour, the video from the clip from his yesterday broadcast, never ever tried to please a woman. It's in, you know, potentially incendiary, inflammatory, but hopefully sort of lends itself to a discussion about things we're just not supposed to talk about, and or at least that's what we're led to believe. It's what I would refer to as today's installment of sacred cow tipping. It's what I like to call sacred cow tipping, because there are a growing number of sacred cows and taboos, things that we're just not supposed to talk about in America. And whenever someone asks me what, you know, you do radio, you talk for hours, what do you talk about? And my response is typically, you know, money, politics, religion, all the things we're not supposed to talk about. This is certainly one of those things, this social taboo. You know, you can't talk about the nature of a woman, the nature of a man, the way they might, you know, may or may not fit together, work together, and those kinds of things. We're not supposed to do that, especially in this day and age. And it's very, you know, I would say this day and age in America is categorically feminized. And that as a pejorative, like weaponized. Basically, we've been weaponized against each other. One of the things that I always think of is this message, this sort of subtle, implicit message that is, it's so pervasive. It's so rampant and pervasive. It's everywhere. It's on the checkout stands, the check stands at the grocery store, and you know, in the tabloids. It's in movies, television, music, pop culture, obviously. The sort of feminization of all things, the emasculation of all things. And I think that Henry Mackow is one of the folks that some of us think of when you think of this subject. He's written extensively on the discussion, I would say. So we'll tip some sacred cows, maybe a little sacred cow tipping. So while I don't agree with everything that Jesse said, I think that there is a point to be had and made in there somewhere. And to me, I'm just going to come right out and say it. In my view, the point that is to be made, I mean, there's obviously quite a bit of shock radio fodder and provocateurism, I would say, even. And it's a little heavy-handed, what he was saying. Some would argue it's more than a little heavy-handed. And insensitive, unkind, you know, borderline, not edifying, which hopefully is his objective there too. I don't want to believe it is. It is, but the picture that emerges in my mind is a biblical picture of, you know, when the right and proper picture that emerges in my mind is when a man and woman are rightly fitted together and the two become one flesh, as Genesis 2:24 mentions. You know, because it's an interesting picture that you see there in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." When that happens the right way, it is basically a picture of Christ. The way that they edify one another, the way that they build up the complete person, so to speak, because we have, can we just be honest, we have different traits, characteristics, strengths, and weaknesses. The strengths are reinforced or buttressed the weaknesses are shored up when, you know, a man and woman complement one another in this, what I would call, right and proper picture. And some of us have seen it. It seems to be a rarity these days in particular, but, you know, I think you used to see it in the World War II generation. I've heard stories of folks who were long-suffering in the fashion that I've mentioned. In I always think of Psalm 15:4, when the subject of long-suffering or the discussion arises, it's a forgotten concept in today's America. I mean, in this microwave generation, who would do this? Psalm 15:4, a short psalm. O Lord, it's five verses. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? What kind of person? He who walks with integrity, which is an interesting word in its orthodoxy, and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. So he's not one of those folks who is, you know, opportunistic and basically forms political alliances to his own gain or advantage, he or she. He swears to his own hurt, but does not change. That's the one that really grabs me. He does not put out his money at interest. Oh, that's interesting. And he doesn't probably hypothecate a specious currency either, I might add. I digress. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So he swears to his own hurt and does not change. We've heard stories of folks. I know a story of a family member, actually. The, you know, husband and wife couple, World War II, kind of between World War I, World War II era couple. And she was just always mean and cantankerous. No, this is not a woman bashing broadcast today. This, it's not that. This just happens to be the example that I can think of. If there was another, I'd include it as well. But I know of a story, family, you know, a couple, World War I, World War II era couple in my family, that she was always honoring, cantankerous. In fact, as the story goes, when they were both in the hospital at the same time, at one point, she was so ornery, she insisted that he not be in the same room with her. So, but this is the reason I chuckle is because this is a different era. And so, anyway, when she was in failing health, he would go to the hospital to be at her bedside. But she was so ornery, she didn't want to see him there. And so, you know, it was ironic. People would joke about how she'd ask the nurses, why does everyone think he's so fantastic and think that I'm, you know, no one likes me, everyone likes him. And they, you know, family members would say, well, that's because you're a, you know what, and he's a sweetheart. So it's kind of interesting. But he would sit at the end of the bed so that she couldn't see him and, you know, hold her feet and rub her feet. So he was there for her. And that's, to me, that's the picture, you know, of Psalm 15:4. The second part, you know, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. These days, where could you find someone who would do that, you know? I mean, you hear about the discussions, you know. You you can hear folks in the, you know, the little gossip circle saying, you know, I mean, I know of situations right now actually where people in stark contrast to that picture, you know, of someone long suffering in, you know, biblical terms, who, as Psalm 15:4 says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In contrast to that, I've heard of a number of folks these days who, you know, say things like, well, I haven't been happy for 10 years, so I want a divorce, that kind of stuff. And so if we're all that weak and feeble of character, then what does that portend for America? I just don't think that's... that's not a recipe for long-term success, if you know what I mean. And we are being engineered to believe that. Speaking of selfish, narcissistic, you know, and sociopathic, psychopathic tendencies, when you're encouraged to believe these things, you know, that basically the world revolves around you, and that is another concept that's been weaponized to manipulate people. And all this name it, claim it stuff goes in the same basket, the same discussion, because it never, you know, you listen to people who follow this stuff, and unless they're doing things that are, shall we say, at least borderline immoral and unethical, I would say. And there, it's usually, it comes with some kind of, you know, hint of plausible deniability. And that stuff comes from a place, you know, when someone is flying around on a plane with mansions in different states and things that their parishioners have, you know, lavished upon them because of intrigue, deception, sophistry, and manipulation. That's not a good thing. Again, I digress. So it's important to understand these things so that we can be people of integrity. And I wonder what Webster would say about integrity. It's an interesting word. I think maybe we'll define that term real quick, and we'll start with Noah Webster. So Noah Webster said, integrity, wholeness, entireness, unbroken state. The Constitution of the United States guarantees to each state the integrity of its territories. The contracting parties guaranteed the integrity of the empire. The entire, unimpaired state of anything. Of anything, that is. Two separate words. Particularly of the mind. See? The entire, unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind. Moral soundness or purity. Incorruptness, uprightness, honesty. Integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but has a special reference to uprightness in mutual dealings, transfers of property and agencies of others, the moral grandeur of thing in nature, the moral grandeur of independent integrity is the sublimest thing in nature, before which the pomp of Eastern magnificence and the splendor of conquest are odious as well as perishable. That's something to ruminate on. And last but not least, purity, genuine, unadulterated, unimpaired state as the integrity of language. And who has seen that since, when was it, 1948 or so, that Brave New World was published? Or 1984, excuse me. Brave New World was 39, right, I want to say? The 30s? 36, 39, something like that. So that's what Noah Webster says about integrity, and that's what I mean. So to be a person of integrity, you know, not to be – I mean, the Bible says, for example, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. And I get the sense of, you know, there is this picture, you know, Paul talks about people being – we being, you know, earthen vessels made of clay and, you know, to make – clay worth anything. I mean, I've talked about this before. Some of us remember making in school things, you know, pottery. We would take a pottery class, and your first thing is usually the ashtray, right? Everybody makes the ashtray that has the sharp, pointy edges on it. It's really not an ashtray, but, you know, you obviously didn't set out to make an ashtray, but the whole class makes a class full of ashtrays because they just weren't skilled enough, you know, quite skilled enough yet to make something else that was useful. And again, the word integrity comes into view, I think, because wholeness, entireness, unbroken state, etc., soundness, incorruptness, etc., unadulterated. I think a companion term is sincere, which is from the Latin sincera. And in other words, without wax, because wax was used to fill in the imperfections sometimes in pottery, essentially, that had imperfections. And so if you could buy discounted pieces, you know, of pottery or flatware or whatever that had wax, but if you wanted something good, what you really wanted was so what you really wanted was something sincera, so without wax. Again, Webster says Latin sinceris, which is said to be composed of sin, S-I-N-E, without, and sera, wax, as if applied originally to pure honey. Actually, these vessels is what I understand. So, or honey, same thing. So, sincere in its integrity, the vessel that is whole, entire, unbroken. You know, when I think of integrity, I think of a ship that floats and doesn't sink. For example, because of its wholeness, its integrity, its unbroken state. And so hopefully that makes sense. And imagine, to me, this a person that is sort of categorized by these concepts is in keeping with the kind of young people that William in Montana was talking about. I believe that was last week. So there's something to be said for that, I believe. And while we're at it, you know, part of the discussion, I think of Numbers chapter 30, but yeah, gosh, that really should be, that should kind of be the punchline of the discussion. But there's this power that sort of goes along with the discussion, and I'll mention that. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Power that comes to mind when we sort of engage in this discussion kind of harkens back to Numbers chapter 30. That's sort of the punchline. I'll get back to that. But the power is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Man, that's powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Interesting. So that's just a little food for thought maybe, and so we'll come back to that. And the really where I'm headed with that, again, is Numbers chapter 30. I think that's really the sort of quintessential. It's always been in my mind the quintessential discussion, and I've never heard that passage preached on, which I think is very curious, especially in today's, you know, emasculated America, largely anyway. To the phones we go. Paul in New Jersey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Good morning, Paul.
Chris, you know, when you have Jesse Lee Peterson giving advice to married men, we should remember he's been a lifelong bachelor. So really, who is he
exactly.
to give advice about marriage to anybody? I mean, come on. You know, let alone from a Christian perspective in the sense that you're supposed to marry. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to stay married also. So I don't know why Jesse Lee Peterson is almost hinting at divorce to this guy
yeah.
for annulment mm-hmm. when, you know, the classic Christian teaching, and here it is an agnostic telling Christians how to be Christians, right, is you're supposed to stay married and try to work it out to all, to extremes. really, just about. You're supposed to really try to get down and compromise and make that marriage work, you know. But, you know, and one thing I'm sympathetic now with Jesse Lee, I got to give him kudos. If he feels like he wouldn't be a responsible father or didn't want to, you know, do parenting and didn't want to go through the work required to raise a child to adulthood, and he chose a lifetime of being a bachelor, I respect that. You know what I mean? Because it's much better for a man not to have children and the children are neglected and fatherless than it is to be a father and you just neglect and abandon your children. You know, because that is the largest problem in not only, I would say, for breeding the mass shooters other than the FBI, you know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of studies coming out. I heard one on, I don't know if it was on NPR or some station, about how 90% of the males that are in prison are in fatherless or father-deprived households.
And I think, to me, in my mind, a companion discussion to that is how conveniently those kinds of broken homes, whether it's a man or a woman, seem to lend themselves to politics and celebrity or, you know, the entertainment industry and the crossover there, the sort of confluence of those things. You know, you think of William Jefferson Blythe and, you know, all of these you know, monarch sort of entertainers in music in particular, and how, I mean, I've read articles about folks like that who, entertainers that the CIA has recruited because they play a role and they, you know, are sort of invited into whatever area or country around the world. So, yeah, anyway, companion, yeah. Maybe discussion.
Right, and so with Jesse Lee Peterson, he should have been maybe inquiring, well, the fellow did make a mistake, there's no doubt about it, by marrying that woman, because that woman should have stayed with the father of her children, right? You shouldn't have to pass off parenting to another man just because you're not getting along with the wife. Try to work it out with your wife and the mother of your children. Try to, you know, like commit for the long haul. If you're going to have children, that means you got to stay together for at least 20 years, about, until that child's out of the house, because you have much better outcomes for those children when they become adults if they've stayed in a functional two-parent family. Now, this could also, you know, we were talking about the effects of filling up the prisons with fatherless men. I would also argue that many of the prostitutes and the young troubled girls who fell into the clutches of Jeffrey Epstein and Miss Maxwell were the result also of fatherless families, because how is it that 14-year-old girls sneak off on a regular basis once a week to go to Jeffrey Epstein's house, and I'll hold, okay?
Absolutely.
Without parental, you know, observing.
Absolutely.
Body. Yeah.
And by the same token, the issue of narcissism that we talked about, you know, neglect and those kinds of things. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy.
I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Yet, oh no. Thank you. elaborate on what you were saying, Paul, what you said reminded me of Jesus. You know, you get to...
Hello, Chris. You there?
Thank you.
How about we try this? We're having some serious technical difficulties. I apologize. So, do we still have Paul?
Hello, Chris. I'm still here.
So, to your point, my goodness, I don't know what was going on there, but man, serious issues. Hopefully that's behind us. But, you know, to what you're saying, I was thinking of Matthew chapter 19, Jesus rebutting this idea about divorce. You know, the Pharisees come and say, is it lawful for man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he goes through Genesis 2 and says, you know, haven't you guys heard? And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And command is, that's sophistry. And he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted, so he corrects the sophistry, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. And the disciples, not the Pharisees, the disciples said to him, if the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it's better not to marry. And Jesus said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. And it's just this, to me, I think it connotes the sort of strength of character that I was talking about. And to your point, if you're sort of tending or trending in the opposite direction, then you're breeding that kind of hardness of heart. You're perpetuating it. And that lends itself to what you were talking about, where you have, you know, what I would call psychological and emotional abuse. And, you know, that sort of leads to the things you were talking about as we went out in the last break.
Well, to me, it's all about the children. You know, that's what's the primary thing about why marriage exists. I believe if there are no children, then divorce should be readily available. And the fact of the matter is, that's the reason why I'm against homosexual marriage, is because you can't issue forth a child through homosexuality. So there's really no reason to even publicly acknowledge it, right? Because it's sterile by its practice.
Well,
so the point of marriage is really, it's to start a family. And if you don't want to start a family, why bother with marriage? That should overall be the thing. Now, a lot of people, I think the reason, you know, the homosexuals and others want to marry is it's a great way to get rich quick. You know what I mean? And avoid taxes. If you're poor or an elderly, right, and you find a rich guy who's a widower, right, and the lady marries him, she can transfer, like Anna Nicole Smith, they can transfer a lot of money quickly to someone and have no children from that relationship. So that's, you know, marriage is another method for a modern tax dodge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's, But to me, it's all about, and that's what I believe the marriage ritual is about. It's a submission ritual. It's basically you're stating in front of the township and all the people, right, that you're going to be faithful, and ultimately you're going to start a family, and you're going to stay for that and stay together for the good of the family. And that's what, to me, it's all about. And the issue is when it falls apart, and that's why, in a sense, that's the problem with, you know, no-fault divorce. And that's also, by the way, one of the reasons to be critical of Islam. You know, if you look at Ilhan Omar, right? She's Muslim. She married one guy, and what I read, and she had children with him. Then she divorced him. Then she married somebody else, and then divorced him. And then I think she remarried the original father of her children. I'm not certain how it goes. And now she's supposedly having an affair. And that's one of the problems of Islam, is Islam makes marriage, and we know, all you have to do is say, I divorced thee three times, and you're divorced. I mean, it's bad news for lawyers, but it's bad news for children when parents are swapping lovers constantly and going from house to house, and there's no nuclear family that's held together.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, that gets back to the concept of integrity. It's a breakdown of the wholeness or the entireness or the unbroken state. And, you know, kind of like you were saying about Jesse Lee Peterson, maybe not the best voice on the subject of marriage. And, I mean, I'll admit, I'm not either. I'm not saying that I am. I'm trying to point in a certain direction, but I don't think Ilhan Omar is maybe the best representation of, you know, Islam. I'm just
right, but if you ever read about, you know, the polygamous marriages of Osama bin Laden's father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What happens is because he had, you know, like one mother with the father, then what happens is they have these big families with mixed children of several different mothers. And they all form little clans of who the mother is, and they fight with the ones with the other mother because they share a father. And so I think that's dysfunctional and
well,
another reason
and
why
again,
Islam.
I mean, I would.
Well, you,
yeah.
I mean, you're not Islamic. Why defend Islamic if you're not Islamic? You know what I mean? But the thing is, let them defend themselves. But I see that as one of the several, actually many pathologies of Islam, and that's why I, as an agnostic, prefer to be and living in a Christian-based society, even though I'm not a Christian. Understand? Because many of the social norms that came out of Christianity make absolute sense. Like trying to have a nuclear family, monogamous, one man, one woman, for the good of the family and for the, you know what I mean, for the basically for the benefit of the children, because that's what matters. And as I said before commercial, right, remember I was talking about where Jeffrey Epstein was getting his young prostitutes from. And I would bet most of these girls came out of dysfunctional families, probably fatherless, right, where nobody was watching over these daughters. And who would let a teenage daughter fly with strange people and just go off to some island in the Caribbean when they're teenagers? Who would allow that? Only a dysfunctional family would allow that. So I think Miss Maxwell, who was the groomer associated with Epstein, right, they would pick out these wayward children. And I think it's common among young prostitutes also and women who go into prostitution and probably stripping that they come from dysfunctional households. You know, so that's so the dysfunctional households are more apt to produce prostitutes among the women and criminals amongst the boys. Chris, are you there?
Bumblebee, please come on back to me. You got the best old stinger.
Man, I don't know what the deal is, but or I'm some serious issues on my end. It's very difficult to concentrate, to say the least. So we'll try to get that fixed here in a minute as we go into the break for the third hour. But, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, if the interwebs are not cooperating and the phone is not cooperating, I'm not sure what's going on, you know. I'm not sure what sort of vortex I have found myself in. Very, very bizarre, to say the least. We'll try to get stuff straightened out here and see if we can figure out what the heck is going on. And we'll go from there, I think. So, third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll try.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.